Midweek Drive with Alex Levchuk and Joy Knight on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yes, quite right too. A bit of a gamble now, chaps, because as regular listeners to Siren FM might have actually heard yesterday, Phil Lynas's connection with the American Dream Team was, let's be honest, somewhat patchy.
From LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the Midweek Drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only Phil Lynas.
And technically, he said he's on the same phone as he has been, hasn't sort of worked out. Maybe it's the spring forwards, fallback position. We have managed to connect, obviously, with Los Angeles over the whole thing. So I don't think the problem, so to speak, is at our end. But Phil Lynas, are you there?
A version of me is here. It might be my Stephen Hawking version. I'm not sure. How do I sound?
Frankly, dreadful. Frankly, inaudible. You know, I'm not even going to take a Jack Harrison line on what's happening here. But it's created great amusement because, as indeed happened to the American Dream Team, half of the cohort have actually collapsed in a fit of giggles in this particular area. Joy Knight is simply saying, well, see, what do I say after I've seen the movie? That's what happens to you. You start etc. Did you say you might have a landline we might be able to reach you on, or is that sort of beyond the realms of any kind of civilized request at all?
It would take me a little bit of time. Ten minutes.
I think, up Jericho. I mean, that's going to be... I mean, listening to Phil, as it, I mean, it's just not good, is it?
I could listen to this for 10 minutes.
Could you really? I don't know. What do you say, Joy? I mean, normally Phil is the guy who, as you know, gives us the guidance. He sort of points us into...
It gives us sort of surreal. Surreal. But yeah, I quite like it.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, it's nice for a change.
Okay then, Phil, let's try this. What have you made of the show? Have we been coming through to you okay? Has the line been constant from Mr. Computer to Mr. Computer via ARPANET, via the internet, via sirenonline.co.uk?
Everything has sounded fantastic.
Great. Well, that was better. That was a lot better. So share with us, O guru, O wise seeker of the truth, creator of the truth is out there and so much more, who has been mentioned several times, as you may have gathered, during the course of the production, indeed, including the classical repertory theatre company that is A Noise Within. I didn't have the heart to ask Julie on her first show, but I thought surely that could actually be defining indigestion. But never mind. Yeah, Noise Within. Borborygmi, which is technically, folks, the name that we give to the sounds that our stomach makes when we're chewing food, when it kind of swallows down there, and that kind of borborygmi. I thought that would impress
Katie.
Fascinating. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's impressed Katie's mum as well. Not in a scary sense, but, we like Sharon to learn something. So what did she learn on the show so far, Katie?
I don't think she's been... listen to it for that long.
Unbelievable.
She went for a carvery.
Yeah, okay, fine. You could, of course, have taken us with her. Anyway, enough stuff. Phil, fingers crossed, what have your guidance been for your assembled apostles and disciples here who are waiting to find out what, oh, great one, you have made of the Spring Equinox Midweek Drive?
I am pleased that you used the word fingers crossed, because I actually wrote that my fingers were crossed in my notes that I would sound okay, because when you uttered, oh Lord, during part of the show, because the connection wasn't working, I realized that Alex Levchuk was going to a dark place, because usually you roll with bad news. So hopefully... I sound good enough to address this issue of racism in America. I found this whole conversation, obviously it's disturbing, but it's an important one. And I think in a larger context, what we see is that there certainly has been no diminishment in this country of pitting groups against each other. I mean, that to me is fundamentally what we're talking about, the us versus them mentality. Because whether it's the role of women, whether it's racial inequality, whether it's prejudice against religious groups, it all stems from this idea that we ignore that we are, all of us on this planet, 99.9% the same genetically. Not only made of the same stuff, but made up almost entirely the same combination of stuff. And whether we are black or white or Asian, the difference is no greater. We're 99.9% the same. And so when you look at it in that perspective, it really does come about changing a philosophy that becomes about celebrating that 0.01% of difference. Because if it weren't for that 0.01% of difference, we'd all be exactly the same. And that would not be very interesting. It would not be very much fun. So it is about, in that Gene Roddenberry-esque sense, celebrating that our strength is in our diversity and no longer letting these differences separate us. And I do have great hope and optimism because I think that, you know, the next generations, they do see the world in a far more colorblind way. And I also see the importance of media depictions, media images. I mean, it was shocking for many people that President Obama was able even to get the nomination in the Democratic Party because he had to beat Hillary Clinton to do so. But many of us who are keen observers of the media realized that he was going to be able to beat her because the media had already predicted it over the past couple decades. Whenever you had a movie or a television show that depicted a black president, it was successful. Whenever you had a movie or a TV show with a woman president, it wasn't successful, which meant that in our collective unconscious, we had already accepted the idea of a black president.
Sorry, Joy, but women will have to wait their place. That's all I have to say.
We weren't quite ready yet to accept a woman president. And I think this issue of gender difference is important. That's why, as you know, Alex, it's one of the issues that Dean and I discuss almost weekly now on Chilpack Hollywood.
Indeed. Well, I think we, Tiffany, you're our critical consultant. That, did you manage to make head and a tail of what Phil was saying there?
I agree that we are the generation to like change the views of racism, and because like the older generations, like
what, like me?
No, like I don't know. It's just
say it out, girl. Spit it out.
When people like used to learn like what's good and what's like wrong, and I think we all, like, grow up with mixed people, and it's better for us.
Of course, you can go back to the ancient Roman times, and they didn't have any prejudice whatsoever. They just had sort of slaves, and they had citizens, and that was, it was very simple. I've got a little mention for Phil Leonis's Facebook update and also the comments that have been made. I do like this Wednesday morning, check, in my pyjamas, you bet, coffee, black as midnight on a moonlit night. All that can only mean one thing. I'm ready for my weekly appearance on the midweek drive. We've had comments from Boris Bowden. Boris in hyphenated words, not related to, of course, Boris, our current Mayor of London, Boris Johnson. It'd be fun if he was listening. He might need some electoral routine. Go get him, says Boris. Engie Wessel. I'm sure that's some sort of made up name. I mean, Engie Wessel, really. Anyway, Engie says, knock him dead. Not literally, Engie. We're not having Phil Leonis as a mass murderer. It's just important to acknowledge these kind of things. Sorry, Phil, just wanted to relay that so you sorted through from that point of view. Jerry K, we'll come to yourself because you've had a chance of listening to the Leonis Meister, MC Leonis, and his amazingly talented truth seekers. He gave us name checks for the American Dream Team and Midweek Drive on his Chilpack Hollywood Hour. What sort of things would you like to share with him? It's bad as good, eh? Yeah. That's true. That was what you call...
So, Alex.
Yes.
Alex, I had something that I wanted to thank Jericho for, and that was when he was asked about the question of piracy. He took the point of view that these downloads, these quote-unquote illegal downloads, might actually serve in the sense of promotion. And this gets back to this idea of younger generations not automatically going to the place of how changes are threatening, or, you know, which gets us into modes of view like racism, for example. It's how is what's going on right now possibly an opportunity? How is it possibly a benefit? And that, to me, is the way that so often young people approach these issues. And piracy is a really good example, because it's only a problem if you say that it's a problem, but if you use it as an opportunity to say, hey, this means that people are getting our music, this means we're furthering our brand, we're becoming known. The amount of downloads, whether they are illegally obtained, whether they're paid for or not, these are things that prove you have a following, and that means something within the corporate world and can be monetized.
Not that we're saying, of course, that there are some artists who actually would find that the notion of filthy lucre and monetization for their art, you know, just would be inconceivable. Look at the kind of budget we have for the Midwick Drive, for instance. Huh, yeah. Natalie, any thoughts from yourself that you'd like to sort of bring to bear, or perhaps you'd also like to find out, you know, what Phil Leonard's advice can be sort of provided for you as you look for your dissertation, get in front of the microphone and actually say, yeah, I'm looking forward to the afternoon of May the 2nd when I can join with Joy Knight and Tiffany and Katie, etc., and I can go along to the Cargill Lecture Theatre at 1:30 and I can heckle if I wish.
I'll get some rotten tomatoes.
Oh, please.
Joking, Phil. Are you going to be making a speech, Phil, at your premiere in Lincoln, I suppose?
He's only doing Goldsmiths at the University of London and Lincoln before he goes off to Birmingham. We are very privileged indeed, honoured indeed.
Well, I hope to do a Q&A session afterwards. I love having a discussion. I mean, one of the best things about having done The Truth Is Out There is that I have yet to receive the same question twice at any screening, and that is an incredible rarity for a filmmaker participating in a question and answer session. So my favorite part about this, and why I love traveling with the film, is the discussion that comes afterwards, because I learn a great deal, not only about the film that I made and about my storytelling, but also about people and the way they view the world through the issues.
See, I can see people listening to this already saying, I'm getting a headache now. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we will actually put this up as a podcast, as is the case, and you can listen back to it and think, I can't believe they didn't actually tell me. I sounded like some sort of robotic possessed cyborg. Yeah. And you know, that's what I'm saying.
Some of our best friends
are robotically possessed cyborgs.
They are.
Well, that's all right, Joe.
Don't discriminate.
Well, listen, you know, cyborgs unite, as $6 million man Steve Austin used to say. There we are. And of course, we have one of his scriptwriters joining us for that, probably. But I just find it astonishing. I mean, I'd love to be able to sort of decode what's round with this. I mean, you know, Katie, you're quite a sort of techno cyborg. Cyber geek, etc. What do you think, Phil? Is it just his mobile phone's gone dodgy on us? What do you think is causing this purpose? Is it? You know, I mean, last night they were speculating on all sorts of things, really, from the American Dream Team, and the NFL. Quite sorry for them, because it just kind of, I don't know, just I just did. I just thought, I was just listening to it this morning when I downloaded it. I thought, dear me, I felt sorry for Phil as well, because I mean, I thought, you know, Phil's listening to this, and he's getting comments. The buzz isn't there. Jody's going into sort of manic depression. I don't know what's going to go on at that sort of point of view. Anyway, Katie, what do you think is the challenge here with Phil? I mean, what's happening? What's causing this?
I don't know, probably just his phone.
It sounds like a Will I Am song.
Phil Leonis doing Will I Am.
It just sounds like that, doesn't it?
Mm. And yet it seemed to be improving. I'm sorry, Phil, we shouldn't be talking about your sort of phone technology whilst you're actually the other end of the line. Anyway, Natalie.
Maybe it's like a conspiracy theory. Maybe we need to think of this, like maybe someone is out to get Phil and stop him from having these conversations with us at Siren FM.
Unbelievable.
Maybe it's something to look at for The Truth Is Out There too.
Maybe
you could do a sequel.
This, I mean, you know, it has to be said, I think, quite categorically. And I'd like to feel that, you know, some of the Truth Is Out There fans, and indeed Combat Radio fans and people who follow this whole thing through, will actually be emailing and saying, Phil, what are they doing to your mobile phone? I can categorically say we're not doing anything at this end. We haven't done anything at this end with any of the routines, you know, the systems there, but it does sound as though it's going through some sort of bizarre vocoder synthesizer system, which just, quite frankly, doesn't sound natural. Anyway, it doesn't sound, you know, we might have to look to landline for future connections at this particular stage. I don't know why. Is cell phones around from that point of view? Maybe actually, Phil, you should just take your cell phone back and say, oi, what's going on here? Because, I mean, if this is, I mean, if he's trying to set up a deal with this, if he's got, you know, the next, if he's got Linda Park, you know, he might even need sort of be looking to connect with all sorts of folk from that point of view. And suddenly, he might even get Johnny Depp in an uncredited role to kind of celebrate the notion of that. That was a bit of tension as well last night. You know, there was a bit of an argument between Jodie and Phil because Jodie was convinced that Johnny Depp didn't actually appear in 21 Jump Street. Phil, of course, he is the man, Chilpack Hollywood, he's there, got the finger up pulse, said he did, and he does. You know, it's just, it's uncredited. Sorry, Phil, I just, you can tell I've had a bit of a challenging day today, and sometimes you just have to vent on these things.
I understand, believe me. He's a talking, understand.
I completely understand. It's, I mean, you know, they say that America and Britain, two countries separated by a common language. I can't understand a word he was saying there, apart from a vague "I understand." Just
we don't understand.
Let's just stick it with yes or no. I could say try tapping the phone once for yes, twice for no. But you know, it's live broadcasting. We're not going to let this defeat us in any way, shape, or form. As indeed, I have a little question for you, Joy. Who said in 1942 we shall fight them on the beaches?
Wasn't it Winston Churchill?
Yeah, he's
Sorry. 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 Have you got another one for me? So I can redeem myself.
Indeed, indeed. Who said in 1975, defeat is good? Nelson Mandela, chiropodist. Defeat is good.
Oh.
It's come to a pretty pass.
I'm easily amused.
The Phil Leonis connection sort of resounds into a kind of a one-off routine for would-be presenters to actually sort of break into an open mic night, honestly. Yes or no, Phil, are we coming across clearly to yourself via the mobile phone?
Yes, you're coming across quite clearly.
Is he? Now you could understand that. So maybe it's just a case that we have to restrict Phil to answers of no less than 4 or 5 words at a time.
Is that possible?
Exactly. It's, oh, I
it's
just
a challenge.
It's very strange. It's one of the most strange things is that every phone call I made for the day today, they asked people if I sounded like a robot and they thought I was joking.
You see, I suddenly feel as though we should actually say batteries not included. Number 5 is alive. You know, number 5 is alive. Don't, no, no disassemble. No disassemble Phil Leonis. You know? No.
I don't get that.
The movie Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2.
Have you seen the film Wall-E? Oh.
Wally, Eva, have you seen it?
No,
oh,
it's so cute.
Curiously, actually, by the same man who directed Andrew Stanton. He didn't direct himself. Maybe he did, but he did John Carter.
Oh, the Disney's biggest flop. Lost Disney £126 million.
Listen to Chilpack Hollywood, and things will manifest. Was there anything else you'd like to add, Phil? We've got about 2 or 3 minutes in this time, which has been mostly a case of the Midweek Drive team step into the breach left by Phil Leonis and his phone, which just seems to have gone doolally on us in a transatlantic way.
I have so many good things to add, and I'm not going to sully them with the computer biased voice.
No, you see.
So all I will say is that I promise I sound much better on this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour.
Oh, I think that's guaranteed. You sound much, much better on the Chilpack Hollywood Hour. I've already heard it. You do. Case in point, you know. But the bottom line is, if you'd like another sample of Phil Leonis, which we'll test through, because, you know, I did do the pre, as, you know, people are sort of saying, look, did they not actually check it out before he actually put him on air? Did they not actually realise there might be an issue here? Did they not say, yeah, we did, but we thought it would work through, you know? Jericho, would you like to ask Phil Leonis those last 2 questions?
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jericho.
Hello. Have you had a reasonably enjoyable chat with us this evening?
Not really.
No, you see,
it's
exactly. I'd agree. You know, I didn't think I'd have to almost rewrite the entire last 20 minutes of the show at the moment. Go through blue pages, pink pages, white pages, yellow pages, the whole range of things. Amazing.
And can we look forward to speaking to you again in better circumstances?
You will speak to me again, and hopefully there will be under better circumstances.
Look forward to it.
It's a most surreal. Like I say, you know, the Stephen Hawking line is only one you can take so far before, you know, frankly, it just becomes, no, it's not funny anymore. You know, it's just not funny. It's just, it's only a certain variety. What do you think this is, an episode of Family Guy? No. Yeah. Anyway, our little quote today, which is suitable in so many ways, Channing Pollock, happiness is a way station between too much and too little. I'd be very interested to see how Phil delivers that final goodbye in a few seconds, really, because that'd be going to go there. Have you enjoyed the show, Katie?
I've been nervous because of that presentation tomorrow.
Look, Katie, you will be fine. Don't worry. Look, it's not as though I'm marking you. I'm just actually assessing the whole ambience of the thing. It's going to be good. John Dixon's marking you. Be very afraid. No, it'll be wonderful. It'll be a great scenario, etc. Natalie, have you enjoyed the show?
I particularly enjoyed the last half an hour.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It tucks on the topic in all sorts of ways, etc. Joy, are you familiar with the exciting news about Badger? That's up there.
Yes, you told me earlier.
He is coming. He is coming to the grand
Badger.
Event. Exactly, Badger.
Yeah, he looks excited, doesn't he? He's got a glint to his eye.
Not in a kind of naughty sense. He's just got, you know. So
I didn't mean it in a naughty sense.
Exactly, exactly. He's just pleased to see you. That's our point in his hat. It's just bottom line, etc.
Penguin looks a bit annoyed, though. Is he not going?
We haven't managed to get a passport for Penguin to take part in the teddy bear train. But you know, it's what happens, etc. Joker, have you enjoyed the sequence?
I've really enjoyed it. But what would make it for me is hearing Phil sing some Black Eyed Peas. So I just know it's Will I Am on the other end of the phone.
This is good. This is good. Excellent. We'll allow Sharon Harriman to actually enter the other side of the studio, I'm sure, before too long. It's always marvellous. She does the midweek drive on Friday. Tiffany, have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, I've enjoyed the show today.
Excellent. You know that we actually sort of had to ask Hannah O'Brien to do the morning shift tomorrow.
Yeah, she told me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you could. Oxygen. It's just so hectic, you know, so many ways. Who knows what's going to be happening next week? But we do have somebody who's actually watching The Truth Is Out There as we speak, a film and television studies student who. Actually, she's watched part of it, and it's been mixed feelings so far. But we'll see what actually happens with respect to Philippa when she joins us on the show today, together with Tom Nichols, who'll be talking about his time in American radio, etc. Have we asked you, Natalie? Have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, that's all right. Sometimes short-term memory just goes, etc. So there we have it. You've been listening to Siren Online, the midweek drive, and it's been a wrap from us. It's been marvellous from Los Angeles in every sense of the word. We thank Julia Rodriguez Elliott. We thank Sarah Chase, we thank Cameron Tilbury, Michelle Monroe, Joanne Griffith, and yeah, we do thank Phil Leonis, because, you know, he's hung on in there. He's hung on in there even though deconstructing what he's been saying has been a challenge for most people's audio apparatuses that we actually have, obviously taking that image of sound, etc. But he will be back, and we will reset this whole thing through. So collectively, before we actually remind people that Abomination is coming up, that's A-Bomber-Nation. So you used to be one of those bomber girls, didn't you, Joy?
Yeah, I still miss it, you know.
I thought so,
yeah. I might think about returning.
Well, be careful, you know, because it gets very scary, you know. Roller derby, it's very scary in so many ways. Anyway, to Natalie, Tiffany, Katie, Joy. Hey, Joy, and Jericho, Kizzy, and to Louise's husband, Louise Hobson, I should say. I know, she leaves the studio, I forget her name so already. Anyway, happy trails to Phil Leonis, happy trails. Can we all say bye bye?
Bye.
And from Will I Am.
Bye bye.
Excellent.